Welcome to the Dogs Up Podcast. Today is Friday, February 14th, and this is issue 10. My name is Katie Kaiser.
And I'm Tarina Fernando, the arts and lifestyle editor.
And later, we'll be talking to contributor Sergio Jaume about his experience training and running for his first half marathon. Also, it's Valentine's Day.
It is.
But more importantly, it's the start of Reading Week.
Yay!
That's really what needs to be celebrated. Yes.
I have no classes on Friday, so...
Me either, so it's like kind of a waste. Yay. Also, so was Monroe Day. Everyone was like...
I know!
Yay, Monroe Day! And I was like, I don't have class. Yeah. So, and then there was that storm, and I was like, well, it's wasted twice.
Also, my birthday is the 18th, and it's like, it's actually, it falls on a Tuesday. But it sometimes it falls on the Monday, and it's always like, I'm from PEI, so it's Islander Day.
Yeah.
Or like anywhere else, it's like Family Day. And I'm like, well, it's my birthday. And I'm like, I guess it's nice, but it's like, also, this was special anyways, and now you have to like throw a holiday in.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
But happy birthday, Tierney.
Thank you.
Happy early birthday.
Thank you.
Let's talk about the news.
Yeah.
Hit us with the first news story.
Our first news story. So we have an update on the Greywood. Lane Harrison does a deep dive into the questions of why the Greywood manager quit her position on January 15th. And how the bar is now vulnerable.
Ooh.
Should a member of Nova Scotia Alcohol and Gaming stop by, the bar could be shut down again. Yeah. Employees still don't know what will happen.
Oh my gosh. I can't wait to read that.
Yeah. You want to read the next story?
Yeah. So there's a Dell sustainability student, Florence Wallace, who's using her own struggles with mental health to help others become better at practicing self-care through her new blog. Our contributor, Carly McKenzie, wrote the story.
Another story about Lyme disease. According to Lyme disease experts, climate change will lead to an increase of ticks and the diseases they carry, like Lyme disease, if temperatures keep rising. Donna Lugar, founder of the Nova Scotia Lyme Disease Support Group, says the province is not doing enough about Lyme disease despite the average temperature rising. And this story was written by Madeline Bizzo.
Lyme disease.
That's scary.
It's not just for celebrities.
No, not just Avril Lavigne.
And Justin Bieber.
Mm-hmm.
You can get it too. They're just like us.
Wear long socks when you go walking in the grass.
Don't go to Coachella.
Don't go to Coachella.
I have a theory. I think it's Coachella.
They're just out in the grass.
Yeah.
Getting bit by ticks.
So if you... Yeah. But guys, like, actually be careful, guys. Like, do tick checks.
Do tick checks and just wear long socks.
Yeah.
It's that easy.
On January 13th, the Dalhousie Senate and the Student Caucus unveiled the Dalhousie New Deal. It's a document that outlines specific actions Dal should take in response to last year's Lord Dalhousie report on racism.
Yeah. Oh,
that's really good to hear about.
Yeah.
What do we have in opinions?
For opinions, we have a story about Kobe Bryant, and this is an online story written by our opinions editor, Isabel Buckmaster. And Isabel talks about how we need to remember the entire legacy of Kobe Bryant rather than just choosing to forget the rape accusation in his past. Isabel talks about how someone's celebrity status does not mean they are exempt from the law, and how fandoms need to start separating a person's work from the person themselves.
This is a piece, an opinion piece, written by Shanae Camo. Shanae talks about her style experience growing up and how that affected the way she sees herself now. She talks about how ridiculous it is that we gender clothing and how polarizing those decisions can be.
The next story in opinions is about the doomsday clock. Shauna Gunther wrote a piece about what it means now that the doomsday clock is 100 seconds from midnight. She talks about some of the factors that we as a society need to address in order to continue to exist. She also discusses the idea of viewing Earth as a cyclical system.
So in sports, there's obviously the interview that we're doing later with Sergio Jaume about training for half marathon and overcoming challenges while on a co-op term in a small Nova Scotian town.
Another story in sports, a Dal alum was chosen to be on Team Canada 2022. Mike Evelyn used to play hockey for Dal, and since graduating last year, he's been selected for Team Canada's bobsleigh team. Luke Diamond catches up with Mike about how he switched sports and what training for bobsleigh is like.
In the dynasty that is Dalhousie women's volleyball, fifth-year players Courtney Baker and Victoria Hayworth have played an integral role. Ilya Kurbanov has the story on how they're feeling heading into their last home game at the Dalplex and what they've meant to the team over their careers.
Another piece about Dal's small throws team. not as well known as track events, shot put and hammer throw often fade into the background. Dalhousie's small throws team is full of talented members and has one of the most intense training schedules in the country. Dylan Alec looks into what it takes to be a small throws athlete.
So we have an online story, which obviously you can find on dalgazette.com.
Mm-hmm.
In 2012, Dalhousie demolished its on-campus ice rink, where Dalhousie hockey teams used to practice and play. Since then, the teams have been using the Halifax Forum. Luke Diamond looks into how the Forum has never really felt like home for some Dal hockey players and how they would love to have an on-campus ice rink again. I personally had no idea there used to be an on-campus ice rink.
Yeah, there used to be. And yeah, they've been practicing at the Forum for the last 8 seasons.
Okay, in arts.
In arts.
What do we got?
We have a story about aquaculture. Aquaculture is the moniker for Lance Sampson, a Halifax-based hip-hop artist who's been rising in popularity over the past few years. He started out solo, but has now expanded aquaculture into a group of diverse local musicians. Aquaculture just released a new single called Pay It Forward, which you can listen to on Bandcamp. And by the way, the name is spelled out Aqua, A-Q-U-A, and culture is spelled out K-U-L-T-R-E. Aquaculture. And this story was written by Sam Gillette.
So this next piece is about Fin Fridays. The Fin Atlantic International Film Festival is partnering with the Art Gallery of Nova Scotia, the AGNS, or Agnes.
I call it Agnes.
As Trini likes to call it.
Yes.
To screen local films every month. The program is called Fin Fridays, and the screenings will take place at the theater in the Agnes. Oh, I didn't even know there was a theater there. That's
yeah.
So cool.
Mm-hmm.
They'll screen at 7 p.m. on the last Friday of every month. And the cost to see the film is included in the regular admission price for the gallery, which for students is only $7. And the story is by Michelle Kohler.
Another piece in the arts section is another installment of our history column. For this article, it's all about the Allman family, who Allman Street is named after. The Allmans were a dynasty of doctors in Nova Scotia, and also one of them was one of the founders of Scotia Bank, if you didn't know. The Allmans made incredible contributions to medicine in Nova Scotia, but they have a controversial history that should also be talked about. The family was known to own slaves, and in a shocking incident, they helped a Confederate pirate murderer escape imprisonment. And this story was by Elizabeth Foster.
So there's a contributor, Gakian, explores why Stephen King movies are so popular and why filmmakers keep adapting his work. She interviewed students who love or hate Stephen King's work, and she talked to Dal film professor Shannon Brownlee about what makes Stephen King's books so adaptable. We have one last thing.
This is just an online thing, so the winners of the Dalhousie English Department's annual sonnet contest will be posted on our website, dalgazette.com, so check those out.
Oh, that's cool.
Sonnets.
Neat.
For Valentine's Day.
For Valentine's Day.
Yes.
We're here with Sergio Jaume.
Yep.
Did I get that right? Sergio Jaume. To talk about his experience training and running a half marathon. Hi, Sergio.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Do you want to tell us about your article?
Yeah, sure thing. So I was inspired to write this article when I read one of my favorite authors called David Foster Wallace. Mm-hmm. And he has an interesting perspective on sport, where he talks about sport almost as a way to self-transcend. And what that means to me is that when I was training for my half marathon about a year ago, I found that running was a way for me to keep pushing my boundaries and improve. And so taking that almost metaphysical view on running helped me push farther than if it were just for things like weight loss or staying fit. But it helped me develop discipline, which I think carried on to different aspects of my life.
So your article basically talks about the like training process and then yep. The actual marathon process. Which one did you find more taxing, the training or the marathon?
Oh, good question. I'd definitely say that the training was the most taxing. And the reason for that is, even though the half marathon was very difficult and those last 5 kilometers were awful, I believe that the training is more difficult because it requires discipline. It's consistency. And anyone can run, say, one day or maybe 2 days, but running consistently for, say, 4 months can be a lot more difficult. There's going to be days where your legs hurt, days where it's rainy, days where you just don't want to go. And having the discipline to go run or do anything that you are passionate about is difficult, but it helps you achieve what you're working for.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
And you're doing all of this in Spring Hill, Nova Scotia, which is a very tiny town. I think it's less than 3,000 people.
Yeah.
Can you set the scene for us a bit? Why were you in Spring Hill, and what was it like there?
Sure. So Spring Hill, like you said, it's a small town of about 3,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there for my second co-op term. And I got placed there because I didn't really hear about it, like didn't hear much about Spring Hill. So I went, okay, let's go try it. And when I showed up, I was honestly terrified. I was 20 minutes away driving from the next nearest town.
Mm.
And I was probably one of the youngest people in the town by like 10 years. And so there was a part of me that was like, oh my God, I'm going to get depressed out here. Like there's nothing to do. But I started running because that was something I did when I was younger, or fitness was important to me. And so when I started running, through my, like, after work or during the weekends, I found that it helped me not only build a community, but stay fit and, like I said, help me learn lessons.
Mm-hmm. So a part of it was kind of like a fear that you were going to get depressed and you needed to do something?
Yeah, oh, totally. I think that there is a very strong correlation between physical activity and, like, just soaking in things like sun mm-hmm. with how you feel. If mm-hmm. I were to, like, lock myself into my room and start crying every day, obviously there would not be a lot of development. But if I push myself to get outside every day, go for a run, I felt better mm-hmm. at the end of every day.
You said that you used to do a lot of, like, physical activity when you were a kid. Did you, like, stop doing it for a while? And, like, was this when you started training for this marathon? Was it, like, the first time in a while that you really, like, got back into, like, physical activity?
Yeah, good question. So, like you said, I've always been very interested in physical activity. I was on a couple of teams during high school. But about grade 11, grade 12, I dropped the teams, decided to pursue something else. And wasn't in really any, like, organized sport or any one thing that I would be really passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just, I think, a combination of things that I learned along the way that made me want to get back into something organized, something where I would have tangible rewards. So completing a race is a great goal to achieve. Whereas just running casually, I felt, didn't have the same amount of incentive. That's the word.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's why I decided to pursue running.
Yeah.
Cool. What would you say was the hardest part of training?
The hardest part of training? Definitely just the consistency. So waking up in the mornings on a Saturday when there's nothing other than yourself to incentivize you, I think can be difficult sometimes, but building that habit can help carry on the momentum. So about a month in, I started to feel weird if I didn't run instead of feeling weird when I did run. So that first month and getting over that hill was the most difficult part. But once you do, it becomes habit and it becomes easier.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a bit about what a regular day, like training or practicing, would be like for you? Like how early would you get up in the morning?
Oh, okay. So it wasn't too early. It wasn't like 4 a.m. or anything. But the night before, I would always have a little agenda and I'd plan my day.
Yeah.
Because I found if I didn't have like structure during my day in the town, I would just laze around. So I'd plan my day for like 8 a.m., go for a run, come back, shower, have breakfast, and then it'd be one of three things. Either drive around or go for an adventure once I bought my car, or play guitar, or read a book, or just something that keeps me busy instead of just, I don't know, laying on the floor or doing anything else.
Yeah. What would an adventure be that you would go on?
An adventure.
Yeah.
The most memorable, and I guess I touch on it during the article, is there was one day I decided to bike from my town to another town.
Oh.
And it's pretty far away by bike, so I decided, yeah, let's do a full day adventure. We'll bike out to the town and then eat lunch and then come back. And it was a beautiful day, beautiful morning. It was beginning of May, so everything was starting to bloom. And on the way back after lunch, I was walking my bike because it was such a nice day. Of course, I'm going to like soak up the sun. And I start going up this hill and a car drives down the hill and he stops. The guy in the car stops and rolls down his window and says, "You have to turn back. You are about to run into a mama bear with three baby cubs. And there I was for 10 minutes standing next to my bike, wondering, well, what the hell am I going to do? Because if I go around, that would take like several more hours just to get to my main town. So 10 minutes there, just wondering like how tasty I would be to a bear, until I see the car come back. And then he says, all right, I know you can't go around, so I'm going to get between you and the bear. And I'm going to drive up the hill and you pedal as fast as you can. I'm like, yeah, let's do it.
Oh my God.
And I get on my bike and I start pedaling, and the guy is driving slowly right beside me. And I get halfway up the hill and there's this giant field of flowers, and in it there's this big mama bear, black bear, with three cubs. And the only thing separating us are 100 meters, a car, and a couple flowers. And so I start pedaling as fast as I can, and I make it over the hill. The guy waves me off, and I survive, obviously.
Oh my God.
But it made for a good story.
Yeah.
But those are one of my adventures.
Holy.
Wow.
That is terrifying.
Yeah. Definitely memorable. Yeah. I wouldn't change it for the world.
Oh, wow.
So when you decided to do the marathon, I know in the article you write about the last 5K and how those were really difficult. What were you thinking in that last 5K?
Yeah, good question. It was a lot. I mean, those last 5K, because I think the hardest part was that I set myself a goal to finish in 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And if I hadn't set myself that goal, I could have just stopped running, walked a bit, run again, walked a bit. But there were two things. It was that goal of 2 hours. And then also I had run this half marathon like in support of my grandpa. And so if I felt that if I didn't run within those 2 hours, I'd be failing at the goal that I set for myself for this cause that was important to me. And so throughout those like 5K, I think there was like 30 minutes, it was like, this is more than a race. This is me pushing through this excruciating pain to like get to the end. This is me pushing my boundaries, because I know the human body can go way farther than we can expect it to. And I discovered throughout my race that it was all about your choice of whether you wanted to stop running or not. So it was just a mental battle of, I have to keep going, I have to keep going, this really hurts, but I have to keep going. And the feeling that you get when you get to the end makes everything worth it. Everything.
What do you mean it was in support of your grandfather?
Yeah. So during my time in Spring Hill, I had started training for the half marathon like in early May. Mm-hmm. But then in late May, he was diagnosed with brain cancer. Mm-hmm. So I decided to run the half marathon and raise some money for mm-hmm. his support.
Mm-hmm. How did you feel when you saw that you did, in fact, finish the race in 2 hours?
So it took me like 5 minutes to like catch my breath and like realize that I did make it. But once I saw that I did make it within 2 hours, it was exhilarating. I haven't really stopped and reflected on it too much, but it made me realize that I can do it. Because when I was younger, my parents ran half marathons. And as a kid, you're like 10 years old, you're like, oh my God, that's like a half marathon. And when you realize that you can do it, and you can when you persevere, was a huge confidence boost. Like, I realized that discipline is extremely important in almost anything you do, anything you commit yourself to. Mm. So it was a big confidence boost. It showed me that I could do anything.
Well, have you continued to run since the half marathon?
Yeah, definitely. So my third co-op and my last co-op was in Toronto. Mm-hmm. And when I was there, I ran two other half marathons. Wow. And I broke my PR there too. So it's the lessons that I've learned through this race have helped me consistently stay fit and like keep breaking my goals. Mm-hmm. So in this first one, I was dying like just with 1 hour and 56 minutes. But in my most recent one, I did 1 hour 43 minutes, which was faster than I ever thought I could go. Mm-hmm. So being able to look back at where I was more than a year ago and looking at it now, it's really encouraging. So yeah, in the future, I'd like to run a full marathon now that I know I can, if I put myself to it.
Cool. Do you think the training for a full marathon would be any different than for a half marathon?
Absolutely. From the people that I mm-hmm. was training with a group in Toronto, and everybody was saying that training for a marathon, even though it's twice the distance, is four times as hard as a half marathon, because you get almost consistently at 30 kilometers to what they call the wall. And that feeling that I had at those last 5 kilometers, you feel it for 10 kilometers. And you just, you, it's again a mental battle. A mental battle of, I don't want to stop, I want to hit my goals, and I know I can carry the lessons that I learned for this half marathon into the full marathon. So it's going to be difficult, but I'll learn a lot for sure.
Do you have any advice for anyone who would want to start training for a half marathon?
Yeah, good question. I know it sounds a bit cliche, but what I'd say is just that you can do it. You can do it. And the most important thing is discipline and realizing that discipline equals freedom. When you have the discipline to apply yourself to anything that you want to achieve, you can achieve it. And so any one tangible thing that I would recommend to someone that wants to train is add a little bit of pressure to yourself. So for me, what helped me keep going and like helped me not to stop in those last 5 kilometers or to help me wake up every morning was signing up for the marathon or the half marathon before I started training, knowing that, oh crap, I just spent $100 on this thing. I can't back out now.
They're expensive, yeah.
They are expensive. And then with raising money for the cause, I think would be a huge way to bring good to something that you're passionate about and, again, put some pressure on yourself so you can keep at it.
Mm. Cool.
Was the marathon in Spring Hill or was it?
No. I wish.
I was like, yeah.
That'd be pretty poetic. But no, it was here in Halifax. It was the Maritime Race Weekend.
Oh,
cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You said in your article that you put your headphones in when you started the half marathon. What were you listening to?
Ooh, good question. Yeah. I know everybody listens to like different music when they run. Some people listen to rap, but mine is a lot of funk. Like, because I find that funk has a really good BPM.
Mm-hmm.
Like with the bass, like ba-dum, boom, boom, like that. Like you can pace yourself consistently with funk. So some artists that I listen to, I found one really good one was Fela Kuti, which is a Nigerian jazz artist. Really, really good, really funky. And then another one was Bilbao, B-I-L-B-A-O.
Mm-hmm.
And they do like really upbeat, funky stuff. So that's usually what I prefer when I run.
Cool. That's really cool.
What was the most unexpected part about training and running a marathon? Like, is there anything that happened that you didn't think was going to happen?
The bear.
The bear?
Yeah. The bear, indeed. That's so scary.
Yeah.
I'm terrified of bears.
The bear? Off the top of my head, I can't think of anything that just shocked me. Oh, I thought it was really cool that when I was there in Spring Hill, since I was running like basically the same route for 4 months, people started to notice.
Mm-hmm.
So like the town was a lot of retired people. So by the end of the 4 months, I was like having lunch with the grannies of the town. And, like, they would make me food and everybody knew my name, which was really, really nice. It was nice to have a community rooting for you too.
Yeah. Which is very different from Calgary, I would imagine.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, I trained in Toronto, and completely different vibe. Like, in Toronto, it's such a big city that you go out, you run, and nobody notices. Yeah. You're like a speck in this, or a sand particle in the desert.
Yeah.
But yeah, I learned a lot of good lessons in Spring Hill. Like, you don't have to be in a big city to, like, have a good time. You can find connection anywhere.
Well, if you don't have any other questions, Trini?
No, I don't think so.
Well, thank you for coming in and talking to us, Sergio.
Thank you both for having me. This was a pleasure.
We look forward to seeing your story in print.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. That was issue 10. If you want to contribute to the Gazette, you can do so online at dalgazette.com/contribute.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also email any section editor at their section name.
For example, opinions at dalgazette.com or news at dalgazette.com.
Yeah. And Trini, you wanted to talk about a meeting that we're having?
Yes. So the Dal Gazette is having our annual general meeting on March 2nd. It's going to be from 6 to 7 p.m. The room and food details are to be announced. The AGM is a very important meeting for us. It's where we elect people for our board, and our board is the group of people who do kind of a lot of administration stuff, but importantly, they are the ones who hire like the Gazette team, so the editors. And it's a really great way to be a part of the Gazette if you're interested. Important to know that if you're on the board, you can't be an editor for the Gazette, but you can write articles for the Gazette. But if you're interested in getting involved with us as a paper, then definitely come to our AGM and definitely feel free to run for a position on the board. Yeah, all positions will be open. And we usually don't just get pizza for the AGM. We try and get nicer food. So come for the food, if only the food, but also for our head count, because we do need, I think, at least 25 people.
Whoa. That's a lot of people.
Yeah, it's just to meet our quorum.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, it's March 2nd, 6 to 7 p.m.
Yeah, if you want to find the Gazette on Facebook, you can do that. They basically post all the articles that are put online and stuff about meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Ways to contribute, that kind of stuff. Yep. If you want to contact the Gazette about anything that we talk about on here, you can do that on Twitter.
At Del Gazette.
Yep. You can also find me on Twitter. I'm at Kat Kaiser.
You can email me. My email is arts@delgazette.com.
And if you want to find our guest today, Sergio Jaume, you can do that. He gave us his Instagram, which is SJAUMEE. Plug that in, and I guess you can give him a follow, see what he's up to, see how his running goes.
How Sergio's running.
Guys, we're going to say it again. We're on iTunes now.
Yes, Apple Podcasts. Actually, iTunes is dead, Katie. Yes. Did you not know?
I had no idea.
Yes, iTunes is so dead.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
Now we're on Apple Podcasts, I guess.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you want to give us a little subscription on Apple Podcasts, you can get our next episode and then probably the future ones after that. And if you want to give us a rating and a comment, we would like that.
We're on Spotify as well.
Oh my god, really?
Did you know?
I had no idea.
I just looked it up and we're there. Yeah, so you can follow us on Spotify. I just followed us on Spotify, so you can too.
Follow us on Spotify. I'm going to do it right now. Let me grab my phone.
I don't even know who organized that or put it together.
Oh, probably the amazing people here at CKDU.
Yes, not us.
No, we don't handle any of the tech stuff. That's Tim who does it all, and he's fantastic. Wow.
We have 2 followers now.
And yay! Yeah, I don't think we ever mentioned on here that CKDU is the one that helps us out with all this.
Yes.
They lend us their fantastic studios. That's why this always sounds so good.
Yeah.
And Tim.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you, CKDU. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Spotify. Then we'll have more than 2 followers.
Yes.
That'll be so much fun.
Yay.
Wow.
And have an awesome reading week, everybody.
Yeah. Refresh yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Do some reading.
Yeah. Lots and lots of reading.
This is the week for reading and nothing else.
Yes.
You cannot.
Don't write. Just read.
Just read. Anyway. Have a good week, guys. Till next time.
Till next time.